engaging sermons on the most urgent problem of our day and what you can do about it.
Now, the End Abortion Podcast by Priests for Life.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus went up to the mountain to pray, and he spent the night in prayer to God. When day came, he called his disciples to himself, and from them he chose 12, whom he also named apostles: Simon, whom he named Peter, and his brother Andrew; James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew; Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus; Simon, who was called a Zealot; and Judas the son of James, and Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. It is always a special day when we celebrate a feast of one or more of the apostles. Today we have two, Simon the Zealot and Jude. St. Jude, you know, of impossible or desperate cases, as many pray to him for. We wear red because these apostles gave their lives for Christ. And they are the 12 specially chosen. There were many disciples of Jesus. And he sent out the disciples because every disciple is called to also proclaim the gospel that he or she believes in. But the 12, with a capital T, it was an identifiable group of leaders. These were the inner circle, and they were chosen to lead the church and to lead the effort of the proclamation of the gospel. And that's why these are foundational people, as we read, Paul writes to the Ephesians in this first letter, that when we speak about the household of God, the church, the gathering of those who believe in Christ and in his word, there's a foundation on which it is built. We don't all build our own foundations. We don't all write our own gospels. We don't all publish our own catechisms. We've got a foundation. And Paul says in this letter to the Ephesians that the foundation is the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. And this is what it means when we say we believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. It's one, not many. It's holy, it's from God, it leads us back to God. It's Catholic, universal, it's for everyone. But I want to dwell on the other fourth characteristic here of our church. It's apostolic. It has a foundation. In fact, Scripture says that even in the heavenly Jerusalem, the names of the 12 apostles are written on the foundation stones of the city. Because what the gospel, the eternal word, who is really the person of Jesus, but this gospel message was entrusted to them for two purposes: guard and preserve it. Don't let anyone change it, add to it, subtract from it, dilute it, distort it. It's got to be preserved for all generations until Christ returns, and it has to be proclaimed. So it's not preserved in the sense of hiding it in a closet, putting it in the freezer for safekeeping. It's not for safekeeping. It's preserved precisely so that it can be proclaimed, precisely so that it can be believed, precisely so people can have life because of that faith and come to salvation in Christ and live forever. This is the foundation laid by the apostles, given by Christ. So when we celebrate a feast of the apostles, we reflect on the fact that the faith in which we believe is not of our own inventing. God forbid anyone should think that it is. Jesus even said of himself, "My teaching is not my own." He refers to himself as the one whom the Father sent. So my teaching is not my own, Jesus says. It's from the Father who sent me. And if you look in Greek, the language in which the New Testament was written, and you look at that verb, sent, or to send, you know what it is? apostello, apostle. Apostle means one who is sent. So Jesus is sent by the Father. My teaching is not my own. I'm revealing to you the Father and his truth and his teaching and his will. What you see me doing, you see the Father is doing. When he spoke about the Holy Spirit, who is also apostled, if you will, sent from the Father and the Son, Jesus says the Spirit will not speak on his own. He will remind you of all that I told you. The Spirit takes the truth, which is the Father and the Son and their gift, and brings it to us and brings us to a deeper understanding of it. He will lead you into all truth. So if even the second and third persons of the Blessed Trinity do not teach a doctrine of their own or come up with some new message that has nothing to do with the Father, how much more us, human beings, entrusted with carrying on the mission of the apostles. Now, you are all called to spread the faith. As I said before, there's no such thing as a believer who's not also called to announce the good news to others so that they might become believers. But there are those in the church who have a special responsibility, again, for both preserving and proclaiming this gospel truth. And these are the successors of the apostles, who are bishops, by extension, we who are priests and deacons, collaborating with the bishops. And boy, do we have a special responsibility to be faithful to the apostolic faith. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. So we don't look to what did the latest theologian say today, or what did the latest popular priest write about today, or what did the latest novel idea from this person or that person or this priest or that bishop or that cardinal or that pope, what did they say? That is not the focus. You know, there are some church documents that quote the pope more frequently than they quote Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is not the way it's supposed to be. We're an apostolic faith. We point back through history, past the centuries, past the millennia. We go back to the foundations, which is the apostles. So much confusion today. Oh, Father so-and-so said this. Oh, but Bishop so-and-so said that. Is that true? Or I heard my pastor preach that, and I was scratching my head because I wasn't sure if that was really the right thing. Cardinal so-and-so said this. Is that right? Even the Pope said that. Is that Catholic teaching? We believe in an apostolic faith. That solves it right there, brothers and sisters. It's okay to be confused about what a human being says to us today, but there's no need to be confused about what has been handed on from the apostles. Because it's been solid, it's been available to everybody, it's wide open, it's not any kind of secret knowledge that some people possess and not others. Beautiful thing about our faith is that it is indeed universal. Again, the word Catholic means universal. It's openly available to everybody. We all have the Bible. We all have the Catechism. And we go according to what the Church has always taught. Now, today, and we're having this Mass in the midst of our novena for the elections, many people in the Church, the main thing that they're focusing on when it comes to this election is praying for unity. Well, you know, that's all well and good. We should always be praying for and fostering unity. But again, the unity here, if you're talking about unity in the Church, it's the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith. What did these apostles hand on to us? That's the rallying cry for unity. You don't build unity by building a different foundation. You don't build unity by saying, oh, well, let's all get together even if somebody else is preaching a different gospel. If they're preaching a different gospel, they're the ones causing division. Unity means let's be faithful to the one gospel that is the one holy Catholic and apostolic, the one that has been handed down. You come along and start distorting it. You come along and start, you know, omitting certain parts that you don't like or putting in certain new parts that you do like. That's sowing division, not unity. And if you're talking about unity in our nation, then promote unity in the nation. So the nation has a foundation too. It's not what anybody wants to come along and make it to be. It's not the people who are rewriting our history. It's not these violent mobsters burning our flag. You don't create unity in a nation when you burn the flag of the nation. That causes division. That's division. That's not unity. The people who foster unity are the ones who say, we will honor our great American flag. We will stand for our great national anthem. We will preserve our great national motto, In God We Trust. Those are the people who are promoting unity because they're pointing to those national symbols and those convictions that unite us. You want to know the ones that are promoting unity in our nation? And you want to be part of promoting that unity? Well, then get back to the basic principles of our nation. It is not those who come along and say that the court can take away the right to life. They're not promoting unity, and we owe nothing to them. We don't have to accommodate them, make room for them. We owe them nothing. This nation is built on the principle of the God-given right to life, and it is only by affirming that principle, that every child is made in the holy image of God, and that we must protect and welcome these children, it is only in affirming that, only in affirming that, that we create unity. You're not creating unity when you try to make peace with those who are trying to destroy the principles that the nation is based on. You don't create unity by accommodating to those who don't want us to have a nation at all, who want to destroy our borders and become globalists. That's not creating unity. That's creating division. The people who are doing that are creating division. So a lot of people, like I say, in the church, you know, it's all about, oh, well, let's have these prayers for unity. Well, you know, let's not dilute the meaning of unity as some sort of like, oh, well, let's never get mad at anybody. There seem to be a lot of people in the church nowadays that's the biggest credo of all. That's the biggest rule of all. Don't make anybody mad. Well, I got news for you. You're not promoting unity by saying that. Because when you're preserving a nation based on the principles of freedom and the right to life, when you're preserving a history that is there, when you're preserving the Constitution, you're going to be solid in that and you're going to be angry at those who try to destroy it. Otherwise, I mean, are you angry if somebody tries to attack your family? Do you get angry? You better get angry because that's going to help you to defend them. Of course. Brothers and sisters, those who are destroying unity are those that want to rip up the Constitution or try to read into it rights that aren't there. What a beautiful expression of building unity this recent confirmation of Justice Barrett has been. Because you heard what she said. I believe in the Constitution of the United States. I love the Constitution of the United States. It's the very same one that was given to us at the beginning. Just like in the church, we're on the foundation of the apostles. It's an apostolic faith. So too in our republic, it's a constitutional republic. And we still have, in fact, we're the only nation in the world that still has its original constitution. You want to talk about unity? The nation is united around the Constitution. So when you have a judge that says, I'm going to stick to the foundation of the Constitution and I'm not going to try to invent rights that don't exist, like the right to abortion, that's building unity. We've got this strange idea going around out there that those that are defending these foundational principles are the ones creating division. No thanks. That's not true. That's not the case. And those people who are trying to foster unity by looking down at us who go to the very sources of unity and proclaim them and defend them, well, those other folks, they're the ones that have to get their heads screwed on straight, because right now they aren't. It's a false kind of unity when people go along. The prophet Jeremiah talked about this. Beware of those who go around saying peace, peace, when there is no peace. People that want to go around and just say, oh, let's stop fighting. Our nation is too divided. Of course the nation is divided. If there are some in the nation who are trying to destroy it, of course the nation is divided. If there are some that are trying to rip up the founding documents and throw the principles that are in those documents out the window, of course it's divided. But it is not we who stand up for those foundational principles who are guilty of the division. It's the ones who want to destroy them. And you don't make peace with those people. You don't make peace with those ideas. You don't make peace with those who are trying to violate our principles. Brothers and sisters, I mean, this is a very serious problem, and it's good that we're having this feast of two of the apostles so close to the election and right in the midst of this novena, because I got to tell you, those who keep talking this way are doing a lot of damage. Oh, well, let's not get mad. Oh, well, let's not be divisive. Our concern should not be that there's division. Our concern needs to be that we're on the right side of that division. Because you know what? If you believe in the gospel, and if you have the ability to read it, you're going to see that there's a division between light and darkness. There's a division between sin and grace. There's a division between truth and falsehood. There's a division between life and death. There's a division between heaven and hell. And long live the division. Our concern ought to be that we're on the right side of it. That's our only concern. Be on the right side of the division. Because when you're on the right side of the division, the side of truth and of grace and of life and of heaven, the side of Christ, the side of the apostles and the apostolic faith they handed on, well then, brothers and sisters, that's the foundation of your unity. And as far as America is concerned, you be on the side of the flag, of the motto, of the anthem, of our history, of our founding documents, of our Constitution, of our Declaration, and of the God-given principles that they enunciate, starting with the right to life. You stand for those things. You proclaim those things. You defend those things. You vote for those things. You're not the cause of division. You are the defenders of unity. And God bless you for doing that. Let's be recommitted today to authentic unity in truth, in patriotism, and in this great, holy, and apostolic faith. Amen.
This has been the End Abortion Podcast. To learn more, to help end abortion, and to connect with us on social media, visit endabortion.net.